Welcome to episode 19 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and I have a lot of good stuff for you in this episode. We have a grammar topic, a small talk lesson, a vocabulary list, a listening quiz, the joke of the week, and more. The Everybody ESL podcast can be found in the Apple iTunes store and on the Stitcher app. If you like the podcast, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. And if you have any questions about anything you hear in this episode of the podcast, or questions about anything that has been troubling you about English, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. All right, let's get on with this episode. Today's grammar topic is irregular past tense verbs. Now, you have probably heard me say many times that I think the past tense, or especially irregular past tense verbs, is one of the hardest things about learning English. Often, irregular past tense forms just seem completely unpredictable. You really just have to memorize them, and there are many irregular verb forms to memorize. Now, I'm sorry to say that is definitely true no matter what tricks I might teach you or no matter what tricks you might learn from other places. You will have to memorize many irregular forms. You can do it. It's definitely something that can be done, but it is a giant headache. Do you know what it means if something is described as a headache? It means it's very difficult and unpleasant because it gives you a headache. But I would like to tell you about one group of irregular verbs that all work the same way. And maybe this will help you to memorize these irregular forms. This category of verbs is one-syllable words that have the E vowel. It might not be spelled the same in each case, but they all have one syllable and that E vowel. Now, what happens with this category of verb is that the past tense form changes the vowel to E. It changes the vowel from E to E, and then it adds a T sound on the end. Let me give you some examples. What about the verb keep, to keep? Well, what is the past tense of keep? The past tense is kept. So you can see that vowel sound changes from E in keep to E in kept. And then there's that T sound at the end, from keep to kept. How about this one? Feel. What is the past tense of to feel? Well, it works the same way as keep. It has that E vowel sound, which changes to an E sound, and then there is a T sound at the end. So the past tense of feel is felt. We go from the E of feel to the E of felt. Now, here's a few more that work the same way. Sweep, S-W-E-E-P. The past tense of sweep is swept. So here again, you see that E vowel changing to an E vowel. The exact same thing is true in the verb to weep, W-E-E-P. Do you know weep? It means to cry, but it sounds a little bit fancier than cry. The past tense form of weep, I think by now you can guess what it is if you don't already know it. The past tense form of weep is wept. Again, the E vowel changes to an E vowel. Maybe I should start spelling these past tense forms as well. The past tense of weep is wept, W-E-P, T. Now, with some of these, it's a little strange because we have two acceptable past tense forms. And I think that's true for this next one, kneel, K-N-E-E-L, you know, to stand or be positioned on your knee or on your knees. You will hear kneeled, K-N-E-E-L-E-D, and you will also hear knelt, K-N-E-L-T, where that E vowel changes to an E vowel, and the past tense is marked with just the T sound and the letter T, knelt. Another one that is kind of irregular and kind of not is dream, D-R-E-A-M, because I think there are two acceptable past tense forms for dream. There's dreamed, which is the regular past tense form, and dreamt, where the E vowel changes to an E vowel. Dreamt is spelled D-R-E-A-M-T. I think maybe dreamt sounds better in UK English as opposed to US English. And the same might be true for the past tense of leap, L-E-A-P. I think you will hear leaped, which is spelled L-E-A-P-E-D, and leapt, L-E-A-P-T. And then another couple that I found that belong in this category are deal, D-E-A-L, which in the past tense becomes dealt, D-E-A-L-T, and mean, M-E-A-N, which in the past tense becomes meant, M-E-A-N-T. I'm sure there are other verbs that belong on this list, but I couldn't think of them when it was time to record this episode. Maybe you can think of some, and if you can, please send an email and let me know. Send it to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Now, of course, even if this is a big list, even if we find many more examples of verbs that belong in this category, learning past tense forms is still difficult. It's still a headache because there are many categories with many different patterns, and you just have to know how it works for any given verb. So all I can say is keep working, keep going, and keep trying to memorize those past tense verb forms. The theme for this episode's vocabulary list is weddings. My niece is getting married in just a couple days in Texas, and my family and I will be flying to Texas to go to her wedding. So I was thinking about weddings when I was trying to come up with this episode's vocabulary theme. Now I have 8 good wedding words for you. The first word on the list is groom. G-R-O-O-M. The groom is the man who is getting married. The next word is bride, B-R-I-D-E, and bride is a woman who is getting married. One person you will often see, especially at a larger wedding, is an usher, U-S-H-E-R. An usher is the person who helps you find your seat or helps you find an available seat. In addition to seeing ushers in weddings, you will often see ushers in fancy theaters or in sports stadiums. Now, I always think the word usher looks a little bit funny because it looks like it's made out of two pieces, ush and er. Now, we often see that er ending on words that describe people who do certain things, like a bus driver is someone who drives a bus, and a baker is somebody who bakes, and a teacher is somebody who teaches. So it looks like an usher is somebody who ushes. The problem is, ush is not a word. It doesn't mean anything. You will never see ush all by itself. You'll only see it with that ER ending. So maybe it isn't really an ER ending at all. I think we just have to think of this word as one piece, usher, instead of looking at it like it's some verb plus that ER ending. Usher. It's all one piece. The next word on the list is pew, P-E-W. A pew is a long bench. And many people get married in churches, and many churches have pews for people to sit on. The next word is vow, V-O-W. A vow is a promise, but it's a very formal kind of promise. And during a wedding ceremony, the people getting married will make their vows. This is where they promise to stay together for the rest of their lives and all of that kind of thing. Now, when people make that kind of promise, we call it taking their vows. That's really another phrase for to get married, to take your vows. I'm not sure why we say take your vows instead of make your vows, but that's what the expression is. To take your vows means to get married. Now, after the wedding, you will often have a reception. R-E-C-E-P-T-I-O-N. A reception is just any kind of formal party. It's kind of a serious party, or a party after a serious event. And the next word on the list is toast, T-O-A-S-T. Of course, toast means cooked bread, bread that you have cooked in a toaster. But in this case, a toast is the special thing you say before everybody has a drink, the special good wishes or blessing that you offer everybody before they drink. You might say, to the bride and groom, or may they have a long life together. Something like that. Words like that are a toast. And the last word on our wedding-themed vocabulary list is bouquet. B-O-U-Q-U-E-T. Now, you can maybe tell that comes from French. That really looks like a French word to me, bouquet. A bouquet is a bunch of flowers. And it's customary in certain kinds of weddings for the bride to throw a bouquet over her shoulder. She throws it behind her, and everybody waiting behind her is trying to catch the bouquet. And the custom says that whoever catches the bouquet will be the next one to get married. All right, well, that is our wedding vocabulary for the week. Maybe you'll be going to a wedding soon and you will have a chance to hear and use some of these words. This episode's small talk lesson is all about riding the bus. Now, it might not really be right to call it small talk, but it is all about a certain social situation and the right things to say to get what you need. So imagine that you are new to the bus, or maybe you're new to the city where you are. Well, what do you say to the driver if you're not sure if this bus goes to the place you want to go? Let's say you want to go to the downtown library. The bus pulls up and the bus driver opens the door. What can you say to the bus driver? Well, you can ask questions like these. You can ask, do you go to the downtown library? Do you go to the downtown library? Or, does this bus go to the downtown library? Does this bus go to the downtown library? Or, are you going to the downtown library? Are you going to the downtown library? Or, do you stop at the downtown library? Do you stop at the downtown library? All of those are good, and I think there are many slight variations on those questions. Okay, so you've asked the bus driver if this bus goes to the downtown library, or wherever it is you want to go, and the bus driver has said yes. So you get on the bus, but now you're not sure how much money you have to pay to ride the bus. So what do you ask? Well, you can ask the driver, how much is the fare? Do you know that word, fare, F-A-R-E? That means the amount of money you have to pay to ride something like a bus or a train or a ferry or maybe even an airplane. So you can say, how much is the fare? Or even just, what's the fare? Those both sound like good, simple ways of asking how much you have to pay. Now, after you ask that, the bus driver will tell you. You will get some money out of your pocket, and you'll drop it in the fare box. And then, what if you're still not feeling very confident about navigating this bus and knowing when you have reached the downtown library or wherever it is you're trying to go? In that case, you can say to the driver, could you let me know when we reach the downtown library? Or, could you let me know when we reach the downtown library stop? Or, could you let me know when we reach my stop? Could you let me know when we reach my stop? Those all sound like fine ways of telling the bus driver that you need a little extra help, and you would like the bus driver to tell you when the bus reaches your stop. So I think these are excellent sentences to practice when you are thinking about riding the bus in a new place, or if you're thinking about taking the bus someplace you have not visited before. And now it's time for the joke of the week, everybody's favorite segment of the Everybody ESL podcast, or maybe it's nobody's favorite. This is usually a joke that's not very funny, but it can tell us something interesting about English. And here is this episode's joke of the week. When is a car not a car? When is a car not a car? Sounds kind of mysterious, doesn't it? Do you have an answer? Let me tell you the answer. When is a car not a car? The answer is when it turns into a garage. Does that make sense? Does that punchline mean anything to you? Well, here's why this joke makes sense, or why it is supposed to make sense. Turn into means two very different things. It can mean to become, or to transform into another form. So the car is not a car because it has transformed into a garage. It has become a garage. Well, that's kind of nonsense, but I hope it makes sense to you anyway. The other meaning of turn into is to turn and drive in something. So if a car turns into a garage, it means the person driving the car turns the steering wheel and drives the car inside a garage. So it means those two very different things, and that's why the joke is supposed to be funny. When is a car not a car? When it turns into a garage. Well, that's the joke of the week. As usual, not a very funny joke, but I hope it shows you something useful or interesting about English. And now it's time for our listening quiz. What I'm going to do is read a passage two times. The first time, I will read it pretty quickly, at the same speed I might use if I was just telling a story to a friend. The second time I read it, I will read it much more slowly, and it might be easier for you to understand and follow along in the story. And when I'm done reading the story two times, I am going to ask three questions about the story so you can see how much you understood. Okay, are you ready? Well, let's go first time with the faster speed. Last week, the weather changed. Everyone had been enjoying the warm summer days, but now it's chilly and rainy all the time. It has been raining for 10 days in a row. The high school kids don't want to play soccer and basketball outside. No one can work in their gardens. People don't even want to walk their dogs in the neighborhood. This cold, wet weather has made everyone angry and depressed. Everyone except Jonathan. Jonathan is 5 years old, and he has a new raincoat and new rain boots. So while everybody else stays inside, he puts on his rain gear and splashes through the puddles. While his father and mother watch from their living room, he is having the best time of his life. In fact, he hopes it never stops raining. Okay, how was that? Was it too fast for you to keep up with? Well, if it was, let's see how you do when I read it at a slower speed. Last week, the weather changed. Everyone had been enjoying the warm summer days, but now it's chilly and rainy all the time. It has been raining for 10 days in a row. The high school kids don't want to play soccer and basketball outside. No one can work in their gardens. People don't even want to walk their dogs in the neighborhood. This cold, wet weather has made everyone angry and depressed. Everyone except Jonathan. Jonathan is 5 years old, and he has a new raincoat and new rain boots. So while everybody else stays inside, he puts on his rain gear and splashes through the puddles. While his father and mother watch from their living room, he is having the best time of his life. In fact, he hopes it never stops raining. Okay, was it a little bit easier that time through? Well, let's see how you do with these three questions about that story. Number one, why is everyone in a bad mood? Why is everyone in a bad mood? Number two, when did it start raining? When did it start raining? And number three, how does Jonathan feel about the rain? How does Jonathan feel about the rain? Now, before I give the answers, if you want to go back and listen to the passage again, or just pause and think about those questions, that's fine. Just come back to us when you are ready to hear the answers. And here are the answers. Question one, why is everyone in a bad mood? Everyone is in a bad mood because it has been raining for a long time, and nobody can enjoy the things that they had been enjoying when the weather was nice. So they can't play outside or work in their gardens, and it's not even comfortable to walk their dogs. So everyone's in a bad mood because the weather got bad. Number two, when did it start raining? It started raining 10 days ago. It has been raining for 10 days in a row. And number three, how does Jonathan feel about the rain? Jonathan loves the rain. He has his new raincoat, his new rain boots, and he is having a great time splashing around outside in the puddles. Okay, so how did you do on this listening quiz? And that's the end of episode 19 of Everybody ESL. I hope you learned a lot, and I hope you now have a lot of good words, phrases, and sentences that you can practice. Remember, you can always send an email if you have more questions about English or anything that you have learned in a previous episode of Everybody ESL. Send your questions, comments, or suggestions to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with a mini episode, and until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.